Chapter 47. May 11th of year 19. Marchenko. If the majestic draft does not change its speed, it will reach Messenger and him by midnight. Navigation in space reminds Marchenko of a roulette table in a casino, and he is the little ball. The wheel is turning faster, moving his orbit outward, and near him there is a much larger wheel in which a sphere the size of a soccer ball is rotating, instead of a small roulette ball. When the roulette ball and the soccer ball meet, he will have won the grand prize. It is almost impossible that this could happen by accident, but of course, he is more than a roulette ball. Marchenko can determine how fast his wheel is turning, and thus match his trajectory to that of the soccer ball. As long as that soccer ball does not upset his plans, they will rendezvous in a few hours. The body he will need then is already lying on the floor of the cabin. It is connected to the wall by cables and receives energy that way. His body is approximately as alive as a human in a persistent vegetative state. It can receive environmental signals, but cannot process them or react to them until his consciousness indwells it. Marchenko could use remote control to move it, but the body is not capable of autonomous motion. Nevertheless, the subsystems work. The cooling system keeps it at operating temperature, moving parts are lubricated, and the outer surfaces clean themselves. Marchenko has created a technological marvel. The body weighs much less than a human being, but it is much more durable. Cold and vacuum cannot harm it, nor can a certain level of radiation or heat. It is not indestructible, as otherwise the body would have become too heavy and inflexible. He had instead constructed it in such a way that it can move quickly to evade dangers. Its sensors work in all wavelengths, and it can process warning signals without its owner, Marchenko, having to be aware of it. There would be few obstacles which could stop this body for long, no enemy who could surprise it. He still pities it a bit, though. The way the body is lying there reminds him of a slave. Soon Marchenko's mind will take control of it, but unlike the soul of a human being, he is not irreversibly linked to it, no matter what. If an enemy pulverized this body with a nuclear explosion, that would also be Marchenko's last moment. Yet as long as the body is not completely destroyed, he can leave it at any time. For instance, to flee to Messenger. How does that affect his consciousness and his human status? Should he suppress his humanity for now in order not to limit his objective decision-making ability? Adam and Eve are doing fine, he thinks. They don't have to worry about such issues, as they don't have a choice, and that protects them. On the other hand, there were enough individuals in human history who behaved most inhumanely. Life is complicated, and it does not get any simpler the more freedom you have. He should really appreciate his freedom, which is more comprehensive than any other member of humanity enjoys, yet he catches himself being discontent and sullen. His body is ready, and the time has come to switch into it. Marchenko once more roams through space, drifts, enjoys the solar wind on his virtual skin, and then starts the transfer. He will be dead for several seconds. He feels goosebumps on his arms, even though he does not possess arms anymore. During the transmission, he is neither here nor there. His thoughts are frozen and time stands still. It is a critical moment. If something were to go wrong, it could be his end. Activate transmission, he thinks. A few seconds pass on Messenger. Huge amounts of data move at the speed of light. Tiny vibrations of photons pass through fiber optic cables into his new body, where they are unpacked and installed. When Marchenko awakens again, he still feels an echo of his last thought before the transfer. He immediately checks the data integrity. No errors. Marchenko is relieved. The data connection to Messenger is still active, offering a way out if his body should not work as expected. He tests one limb at a time. Feet, legs, hands, and arms. Everything is working as planned. The nanofabricators have performed well. Marchenko gets up. A brief wobble. The algorithms need a moment to balance his unevenly distributed mass. Now nothing should be able to knock me over. Marchenko looks around. The orbital module seems smaller than it used to be. It's still pleasingly familiar. There are two smaller seats and a larger one. Marchenko walks to the smaller ones and sniffs them. His olfactory sense is working, but he can't smell anything. He had hoped to detect traces of Adam or Eve, but that's nonsense. His children never sat in this orbital module. If Marchenko too did not lie about them, his two children died from the effects of a flare when they were very young. It is quite shocking that his alter ego nevertheless followed the plan so strictly. The two seats, for example, would never have served a purpose if Marchenko too built them. He must have really been in despair. "Marchenko to base," he says via the radio transmitter. Nobody replies. Did something happen? Or are they all asleep? He cannot help but worry. "Marchenko to base," he repeats. No answer. Perhaps nobody can react right now. There are only three of them. He should not worry, as most likely everything is okay. Yet he checks the sensors of Messenger to see whether they recorded anything unusual coming from the planet. But there is nothing. He waits for 5 minutes. Time seems to stretch. Marchenko walks through the tiny cabin on his two new legs. Then he reactivates the radio transmitter. "Marchenko to base." "This is Adam." He feels relieved. "Sorry, we were busy just then. What's up?" "What is going on over there, Adam?" "Nothing much. And with you?" "The transfer into my new body worked perfectly. Messenger is on course, and we will encounter the alien ship shortly after midnight." "Good. Then we will talk later." "Say hello to the others." "I will do that." Adam interrupts the connection. That is strange, and Marchenko is still concerned. What is wrong with Adam? Should he worry about him? Are there any conflicts he's not aware of? Is it related to Marchenko too? He starts pacing the cabin again, until he notices what he is doing. "That's useless," he thinks. "I have to stop this." Gronolf is watching over Adam and Eve, so that is not his job. He has to take care of the omniscience. Marchenko sits down in the larger seat and connects himself to the ship's sensors.